This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Say Vonnegut, and almost everyone fills in the first name, Kurt. But there was another Vonnegut. And when Kurt's brother Bernard built silver iodide generators and seeded clouds to create rain, he was the Vonnegut the government began watching. If the military could control the weather, that could be the next super weapon. In her new book, The Brothers Vonnegut, Science and Fiction in the House of Magic, Ginger Strand explores the relationship between the two brothers and how each struggled with morals and ethics involving their work. Strand talks about how she became interested in the Vonnegut brothers.
Most people assume that I came to this book as a fan of Kurt Vonnegut, but actually, I came to the book when I found out about Bernard Vonnegut. I was reading a history of New York City's hydro infrastructure, which is something that fascinates me, and I discovered this little-known incident in 1950 where New York City cloud-seeded the Catskill Mountains about 100 miles north of the city in an attempt to make rain for their reservoirs. It was it had been a dry couple of years, and New York was actually running out of water. And they cloud-seeded the Catskills, and an incredibly wet summer resulted, and then a wet fall, and eventually they cloud-seeded during the winter storm over Thanksgiving 1950, and huge floods ensued, and the city was actually slapped with a big stack of lawsuits. And so, you know, they abandoned municipal rainmaking. And when I heard that Bernard Vonnegut had invented the process by which the Catskills were cloud-seeded, and that he was the older brother of Kurt Vonnegut, I just got fascinated with this other brother and started looking into him. And the more I looked into it, the better it got, because it turned out, of course, that the two of them were working side by side at GE in Schenectady during this period. And Kurt's early work was very much based on his brother's actual experiments.
Yeah, that's interesting. Most of us, I think, didn't realize that. Initially, at least, Bernie was the famous brother, not Kurt.
Yes, he was considered the Vonnegut family success story. And Kurt was kind of the Vonnegut family screw up a little bit. You know, he had dropped out of Cornell because he wasn't really interested in biochemistry, which is what he had been told he should major in. And he'd kind of, you know, then gone to the war and then come back and gone to Chicago and tried to finish up his degree, but when he had his first son, he actually decided he needed to get a stable job and support his family, and that's when Bernard recommended him for a job at GE.
Talk to me about the relationship between these two brothers. There seems to have been, you know, just normal sibling rivalry in the beginning, but they seem to really have their lives and their work intertwined, and both of them are handling some ethical, moral dilemmas.
I mean, that for me was the interesting story that kind of emerged for me as I went into the archives of both brothers and saw how much, you know, and certainly they were. Bernard was 8 years older than Kurt. He was always the A student, always the scientific genius. He was the one who was going to make his mark on the world. And Kurt very much saw it that way. Kurt was kind of the class clown, the kid who, you know, spent too much time writing newspaper articles in college and not focusing on his tests and exams. And he always was in awe of his older brother and a little bit competitive with him. But during the time that they were both at GE, I think they really did grow closer together, and they really began to exchange ideas and talk about the ethical dilemmas that Bernard, as a scientist, was facing. Because, of course, this was the era right after, you know, the development of the nuclear bomb and Hiroshima, and there was a lot of talk about scientists and their inventions and how responsible are scientists for the use that's made of their inventions. And Bernard, who had invented cloud seeding, began to see his invention taken up by the military, used as a weapon, or attempted to be used as a weapon. At least they were thinking about it that way. And he started to worry, you know, well, what can I do if I don't want my work to be turned into something that does harm?
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm speaking with Ginger Strand, who talks about one of the surprises she discovered in her research on Kurt Vonnegut.
I was given access to some letters from Kurt to Jane, actually about 130 letters, that revealed how intently she had helped to convince him to really take himself seriously as a writer and really try to do it as a career. Because at first he was all convinced that, no, Bernie's the smart one in the family. You don't understand. I'm not very smart. I'm not that good. And she just kept saying, you are, and you can do it. And I think, this is not an uncommon story, the story of the wife behind the great man. But it was really fun just to see it unfold so clearly.
Everyone needs a muse and a cheerleader, I suppose.
Yeah. And there were certainly, Kurt did not have an easy time becoming a writer. He had to learn to write, and then he had to break through. And anyone who has tried to write knows how hard both of those things are in different ways. And he worked like a dog at both of them. So having her there as his support and having someone who really believed in him the whole time, I'm absolutely convinced that he couldn't have done it without her.
So what have we done with that scientific discovery today? Where is that type of weather control today?
Well, weather control never delivered the kind of sweeping control of weather that many people hoped it would in the late 1940s. The newspapers all responded to GE's news that their scientists could make rain with predictions of, now we'll never have to be bothered by the weather again. Now the deserts will bloom and the crops will never be ruined by hailstorms. And everyone was very excited. And of course, it didn't quite turn out that way because the weather is such a huge and complex and difficult system that even being able to observe it all is impossible in terms of the amount of data involved. And some people understood this from the beginning. The weather is, today we call it chaotic. It's, there's a whole school of, a whole theory, chaos theory, that helps describe things like weather that are just huge, unstable systems, difficult to control. Cloud seeding does work. Bernard's method of seeding clouds with silver iodide is still widely used. In the West, there's kind of a revival of interest in it now because of the serious drought and because of the number of metropolises and places that depend on, say, the snowpack in the Sierra Nevada. The thing is, you can't make rain from a blue sky. You can't summon up clouds. All you can do is really improve the production of rain from rain clouds that already exist.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Ginger Strand, the author of The Brothers Vonnegut, Science and Fiction in the House of Magic. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.